Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. It can be tricky to teach teens about pregnancy, sexuality, and transmitted diseases. What about respecting Native culture at the same time? It's possible. Some programs are now turning to culture, research, and proven methods to get through to Native students. In this hour, we'll talk to coordinators of two such programs about how they're reaching Native teens with vital facts about healthy decisions about sex. Join us for this discussion right after National Native News.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonia Gonzalez. A legal effort to halt construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline goes to federal court in Washington, D.C. for the third time. Judge James Borsberg is hearing arguments in the complaint originally filed last week by the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe also joined the suit. The same judge denied two previous requests to halt pipeline work. The legal challenge asks for an injunction on construction because the pipeline under Lake Oahe in North Dakota threatens water the tribes rely on for drinking and for religious ceremonies. The Great Plains Tribal Chiefs Association also filed an amicus brief saying that the continued construction of the pipeline harms the free exercise of Native beliefs and continues historical drama stemming from the federal government's consistent failure to live up to its obligations under treaties in general and with the Great Sioux Nation in particular. Meanwhile, U.S. military veterans are traveling to the site where pipeline construction is resuming. Organizers of the effort say they will act as human shields to what some organizers refer to as a mass resistance. One veterans group, calling itself Veterans Stand, is about halfway to its $500,000 fundraising goal on GoFundMe.com. The actions come less than a week after the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers canceled what would have been a costly and time-consuming environmental review the agency said was needed 2 months ago. In his annual address Monday, National Congress of American Indian President Brian Clatisby said Congress and the president should work with Native nations to receive the best, most cost-effective economic development solutions. It was the first address since Donald Trump took over as president. Clatisby said under the previous Obama administration, Indian people enjoyed the most successful government-to-government relationship since the formation of the United States. He spoke of the importance of the federal government upholding its responsibility for Indian education and health care, among other things. He also said the government and companies benefit from mutual agreement.
Partnerships have proven to generate the highest return on investment, for they avoid the high costs of conflict between governments. Work with us to identify and implement win-win solutions.
In response to an audience question, Clatisby said the Dakota Access Pipeline Project is garnering significant attention all over the country and highlights the need for early and adequate consultation with tribes. More than 500 young people came together at a recent conference in Canada's western province of Saskatchewan. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the conference, called Ignite the Life, was aimed at allowing young people to talk about what they hear, see, and feel as a way to prevent suicide.
The conference in Saskatoon was called to highlight what many Native leaders describe as a suicide crisis in their communities. The goal of this conference is prevention, and registration filled up so quickly that hundreds of people were turned away, and the event exceeded all expectations. The conference comes after a rash of suicides in Native communities in northern Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario. One of the main aspects of the meeting is what young people took away from the conference. Winona Seneko is a suicide survivor, and she was at the meeting to tell her story so that others could benefit.
I think it's important for kids nowadays to know that they're not alone and that, like, it happens to everyone. People from all walks of life suffer with sadness.
According to some organizations, such as Kids Help Phone, more than 20% of Canadian teens thought about suicide last year. When it comes to Native communities, that number jumps. The Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations officials say Native youth are five times more likely than non-Aboriginal youth to consider suicide. Organizers say the very fact that so many young people attended the conference shows them that they are not alone and that they have a network of people they can reach out to at any time when they need help. They say it's all about youth helping youth. The provincial government will take the feedback from this conference to help develop a strategy for the future in northern communities. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and love, it's in the air. Perhaps you have chocolates, flowers, or your sweetie on your mind. For teenagers who are somewhat new to the concept of intimate relationships, it can be a time of exploration and some confusion. On this show, we're taking a look at how Native American young people are learning about the birds and the bees. One program based in Oregon incorporates Native culture and language to help cut the high rates for sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancies in Native communities. It's called Native Stand, and it's among several programs that sees a need for culturally sensitive curricula to help teens get the basics about sex and healthy lifestyles. In the next hour, we'll hear more about this program and others, and we want to hear from you, too. What do you think Native kids need to hear when it comes to safe sex and sexually transmitted diseases? The number to join us is 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's also 1-800-996-2848. And now joining us from Portland, Oregon, is Michelle Singer. She's the project manager for Native Stand, and she is Navajo. It's our pleasure to welcome Michelle to the hour. Michelle, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And also in Portland, we have Dr. Stephanie Craig Rushing, and she is the project director at the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. It's also our pleasure to welcome Dr. Rushing to the hour.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Well, ladies, thank you for both being here with us. And like we said, love is in the air, and we wanted to focus in on younger people. And so, Michelle, we're going to go ahead and start with you. Safe sex to young people is a huge thing, and often both young people and adults shy away from it. Why is it an important topic to put front and center, especially when it comes to preteens and teenagers? Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, thank you again for having us. The Native Stand program, stands for Students Together Against Negative Decisions, and it's a culturally relevant and intertribal curriculum for high school age Native youth specifically. And it draws on cultural teachings and values from across Indian country. And what we've seen is right now that there's a lot of Native youth who are either receiving information or lack thereof in their school settings around adolescent sexual health. Maybe they may not be having that information or conversation at home because the discussions around sexual education in Indian country is still one of those slippery slopes of conversations to have. And so we find a segment of our youth as well as young people searching for information about what's happening with their bodies during adolescence and puberty, learning information that may not be factual around, around how to protect themselves in certain situations, including risky behaviors and exploring sex. And so what Native Stand and other programs that we're talking about really approach it in a way to make sure that holistically students are understanding in a respectful way about how to look at their anatomy, looking at STD, HIVs, what happens around their exposure in situations that where they may not be protecting themselves, the risk that they may run, healthy relationships and effective communication in those stages of change. It may sound you know, a no-brainer that this all starts at home or they get it at school. But in all honesty, that may not be the case. And so what we're really trying to do is provide resources and education and knowledge to students and promoting those conversations and therefore with other teens, and they're learning from each other, empowering each other with accurate information on sexual health to for not only themselves, perhaps their siblings, and to other teens. And we've seen that through peer education and a native model and learning is so helpful and taking those good steps towards eliminating health disparities in these areas.
Thanks for that, Michelle. And good information, factual information, is really important when it comes to all of this. And folks, is there anything you'd like to share? Maybe you didn't get factual information and there's some things you wish you had been told, and maybe you're now telling your kids. Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We are talking healthy relationships and safe sex. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Ladies, we have a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and say hello to Sean in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on KUNM. Sean, thank you for your call. And go ahead, you're on air.
Thank you for having me. I think you might have already mentioned a few of the key points that I mentioned to the caller in regards to helping these kids understand the true severity of what they're doing so that they can better make decisions. Let's eliminate all of the code naming, all the code names, the street terms, and all of those kind of innuendos to kind of dance around what you're trying to say and just give them the actual facts. Some of the things that I've seen is I'm in my 40s and we talked about abstinence. Well, abstinence hasn't stopped population growth. And we need, these kids need to know exactly what's going on and how one instance can change their whole life, whether it be from the transmittance of a STD or a unwanted pregnancy that you're now having to be responsible for taking care of.
And you know, when we put it in those terms, I think a lot opens up. Sean, thank you for your call. And folks, if you'd like to add something too, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And you can also send us a tweet online at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you're a little shy, you can call in anonymously too. It's okay. 1-800-996-2848. Michelle, straight talk is what our caller was talking about. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I appreciate the caller's comments, and it's true. I think I want to get back to the point about improving sexual health in Indian country. You know, sexual health education can be challenging in Indian country, where sexual and reproductive decisions are shaped by both traditional and contemporary social norms. And it's, again, when we get into certain settings, there's, I believe, a feeling that, you know, students are getting this at school, or students may be getting this in their spiritual or religious circles, or they're getting it at home. And the reality is students know that things are going on and they have questions. And what we've seen is, you know, there are shy folks when they come into a setting to talk about, you know, what's happening with sex or their bodies changing or the act thereof or relationships. And they appreciate the opportunity. At least we've seen in our program, there's a bit of shyness in the beginning, but by the end, it is very engaging, intimate, mature conversations that have been in their minds, or maybe they're searching on the internet, and next thing you know, they're sitting there and they're educating each other or going home and sharing with their own relatives or their siblings. This is really what's going on.
And, you know, I think a lot of it, too, comes from movies. I mean, movies and television shows, when they take on these topics. And that's another place that, that young people turn to. They also turn to the music that they're listening to and the lyrics about relationships. And parents, if you've heard some of the lyrics your kids are listening to, what do you think about that being their form of sex education? 1-800-996-2848. And also, what about entering our Native teachings, our traditions into all of this? Do you wish more of it happened? 1-800-996-2848 is a number, and maybe you've done something about it, and you've gone this route to teach your young people about sex, safe sex, and healthy relationships. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Dr. Rushing, or do you mind Stephanie? Which do you prefer?
Oh, no. Yeah, Stephanie's fine. Thanks.
Okay, good deal. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about that, of where kids are getting information. Sometimes they're getting the wrong information about safe sex, sex, healthy relationships. What happens when they are on the internet, Googling, looking for information? What can go wrong there?
Yeah, there's a ton of misinformation, as you can guess, out there on the internet. And we do survey teens and young adults on their media use, so where they go online to get health information, and specifically when they have questions about sensitive topics like sex or accessing birth control. And not surprisingly, many of them are turning to the internet to find answers to their questions. And so we are, in addition to building educational tools that teachers and educators can use in the classroom, we are also designing health resources to meet young people where they are out on the internet. We Are Native is a multimedia health resource for teens and young adults, and it includes a lot of information about sexual health and videos that approach sexual health and STD prevention with a little bit of humor. Native Voices is a 23-minute STD prevention video that has been shown to reduce STIs and increase STI testing, sexually transmitted disease infection testing with teens and young adults. So that's a great resource, but also a little bit of humor and edge to it. So we really try to talk about these things with young people in a way that doesn't instill fear or judgment, as Michelle was saying, to open up conversations and destigmatize these topics.
And Stephanie, I watched a couple of those videos before hopping on air today, and you do. You see young people, you know, having these conversations. And Stephanie, why is it also important that when a young person is looking at some of this or seeing videos, that they're seeing a bit of themselves, something that reflects who they are culturally? Any thoughts, Stephanie?
Yeah, I think, you know, all of us really gravitate to information that we feel speaks to our everyday lives and experiences. And so if media campaigns or health promotion materials don't reflect our lived experiences, then, you know, it's easy to kind of dismiss that information. So we really try to make our programs feel like they're meeting the needs of both urban and rural youth. We know there's, you know, a lot of diversity all the way up from Alaska and our tribes down in the United States. There's a lot of variation, but also a lot of commonality. And so trying to bring in that commonality. So, for example, one of our resources is called Ask Auntie. And, you know, we know in many communities, we turn to our aunties and uncles for answers to questions. And so on the We Are Native website, teens can ask questions anonymously to Auntie, and she'll respond with humor and compassion.
And that helps. Maybe somebody out there their ears perked up because they're that auntie or they're that uncle, where young people turn to for, you know, some of these questions, bouncing things off of them. If you'd like to share anything, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And Michelle, tell me more about making sure that it is culturally relevant when it comes to the education we're giving our young people about sex and safe sex.
Well, you know, I think getting back to what Stephanie mentioned about, and you mentioned with Native Voices, is what we're seeing with our tribal youth is, you know, there certainly is an interest in a rally around utilizing cultural teachings and traditions in their educational setting, and even as approaching the topic of sexual health. You know, it's I think that there's a very much what we've seen is an interest and find a more respectful, mature approach in learning on these topics that really open the eyes of the students to really look at it and say, you know, here's some stories that maybe perhaps they've never even heard of, or maybe perhaps took it for granted when their grandma or their auntie or their mom or dad talked about it, and that there are teachings in those lessons about respecting each other, honoring diversity, taking a look at even in coyote stories, what happens when coyote does these things and he's taking risks. And, you know, there's a lesson in that about making sure that, you know, that when it comes to making decisions abruptly or needing to have patience when it comes to certain relationships or perhaps finding themselves in a certain behavior where maybe alcohol and drugs, which is a risky behavior that can somewhat be a gateway to other things, you know, students really look at it in a different lens. And in our program, what we've seen is also male and female co-facilitators. Most often them are Native. And again, in that setting that Stephanie talked about ask auntie or your uncle, they look at this elder or respected person as somebody that they really take as an authority and that trust building. And, you know, in that model, that talking circle, if you will, is so important in that intimacy one-on-one, and that can translate to some of the peers. Even though there is that silliness and jokingness amongst youth, in the end, they really are there to rally around each other. And that's what you see in We Are Native with Native Voices, Native Stand. We really try to bring that cultural lens in an intertribal curriculum model in these lessons and these tools and these resources that resonates not only with the students, but the educators, but also the community and tribal leaders.
All right. Thank you for that, Michelle. Let's take a call. We're going to hear now from Scott in Warm Springs, Oregon, listening on KWSO. Scott, thank you for your call. And go ahead, share your thoughts.
Hello, my name is Scott Klama. I'm actually a Native Stand Coordinator here in Warm Springs. I just wanted to call in and discuss the topic of, you know, Native Stand, Students Together Against Negative Decisions. Here in Warm Springs, we completed our mini grant and educated about 60 youth. And I can see the difference in their character and see a difference in, you know, their approach when it comes to trusting adults and, I guess, getting the knowledge of taking care of yourself, you know, from growing up from adolescence to adulthood. And here in Warm Springs, the Health and Welfare Committee asked me to lower the age range from 12 to 18 so that way I can educate them at a young age before, you know, we're having issues with kids having kids, you know, and we want to put that barrier up or that protection up, that net for them to be able to have access to, you know, this information and knowledge so that way they can have a chance. You know, I'm nothing against, you know, teen parents, but, you know, we want to give them a chance to be able to succeed. You know, we actually have a course in there where we're bringing a teen parent, let them talk to the kids about, you know, the differences that they experience from losing their freedom to giving all their time to their baby to raising the kid, you know, so that really impacted the youth in a good way. And they were like, well, okay, you know, so it pretty much to me, it's giving them opportunity to learn and grow and to, you know, share their knowledge with their peers.
And Scott, let me jump in here. Just somebody who has, you know, seen this put into play, reaching young people. What are some of the reactions you've got, or were you surprised by some of the youth and what they had to say about this program or just getting this kind of education?
Well, for example, I have a young boy named Robbie, and he's like, Scott, why am I in here? What am I going to learn this? You know, and I was like, you know what? Your mom told me you was chasing girls around at the powwow, you know, so you got to learn, you know. So he's like, oh, I didn't know my mom told you that, you know. So just, you know, at a young age, getting them to know, you know, like, yeah, you're interested in girls now. Well, you know what? You got to learn this because this is going to go hand in hand with this relationship. You know, so to me, it's good to give them the information before they, you know, that way they can protect themselves and be aware of, you know, the pros and cons of sexual health, you know, because at a young age, you know what you know. And you're talking about the media, you're talking about music, you know, there's a lot of sex out there to talk about sex sells, you know, and I do tobacco prevention for my job. So that's even incorporated into that, into their advertisement too, you know, so it's everywhere, you know, so I see the importance of educating the youth about it because they're going to see it regardless, you know, on TV, on a movie, on a song, you know, so we got to be able to prepare them for the future, you know, prepare them to protect themselves, you know, and for me, it's, I believe it's a important subject and it's an important idea, you know, because I didn't realize these kids are not getting taught that locally. You know, they're telling me, Scott, what's secondhand smoke? You know, Scott, what's STDs? I'm like, what? You guys ain't learning this in health class? When I was your age, I learned this in health class. You know, so they're like, no, we're not learning this. You know, so to me, Native STEM is important. You know, it gives them that knowledge that they're missing in school. You know, maybe it's was cut because of funding. I'm not sure. But when I was a youth, you know, I was taught these things from fifth grade all the way up to high school. You know, so I see it as an important subject and important topic. And for here in Warm Springs, a lot of youth enjoy music, you know, so I see music as a tool to communicate with the youth. And in my group, we actually did a hip hop song, you know, called Stand Up, you know, and you can check it out on YouTube, Native Stand, Stand Up, Warm Springs. And I go by Blue Flames and I'm a hip hop artist. So locally, they wanted to do a song and do a video. So one of our projects, all the kids that completed the program was able to learn how to record and to do music video. So in the process, they're able to experience a new aspect to express themselves through music. So I just wanted to call in and, you know, encourage people to apply for the grant. And, you know, just to let them know that it is important, you know.
Sure, Scott, this is a very important topic and great to hear how you're working with your community. We'll have to check out that music. I'm pretty interested in that. Scott, thank you for your call. And folks, what do you think about, you know, some of this? And we just heard from Scott, who is in Warm Springs working with this program, Native Stand. What about the importance of having men speak on this issue, too? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We do look forward to your calls. And again, if you want to call in anonymously, it's easier to call that way because you'd want everyone in the community to know your voice. Go ahead, call in anonymously. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Some tribes customarily don't share their cultural knowledge with others outside the tribe. The practice can be tricky for someone who marries into a tribal nation. How does a life partner from the outside adapt to traditions that are different from theirs? Join us on the next Native America Calling as we talk about learning and understanding a spouse's culture.
Into the room and then he speaks. So sweet, every word from his lips is like honey. I know he loves me. Hear the way he sings and the way he strums his instrument. The way he jams and the way he treats his family. He's funny. I know he loves me. Though our life's been super complicated, just
play this song when you need a little lift. Cause baby, I'm finally making you this simple love song.
I'm Michael, a Tlingit and a native of Alaska. Some people in my tribe call me a ghost walker. That's because smoking gave me COPD. That's a disease that makes it harder and harder to breathe, and you can die. My COPD is so bad, my doctor gave me 5 years to live, if I'm lucky. That's why I'm called a ghost walker. And this is the path I have to walk down. My lungs keep getting worse. My chances of getting transplants are shrinking. And the time I have to spend with my family and all of the people I love is slipping away. This is what's left of my life now because of smoking. My tip for you is to quit smoking now and live your life as a person, not as a walking ghost.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isla de Pueblo. And when kids are curious about something, including sex, they often turn to their friends. They also turn to the internet to find more. And sometimes the sources of their information lead them in wrong directions. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported in 2015, Native Americans ranked second for chlamydia and gonorrhea compared to other ethnic groups, and third for syphilis. So when kids are curious about sex, where should they go for information? And just how ready are they to make healthy decisions about sex? And if you just said to yourself, they're not, well, then what needs to be done to change things? You can join our conversation by calling 1-800-99-NATIVE. Parents and elders, what do you wish you knew about safe sex when you were young? Also, what are you teaching your kids about it? And are you dreading giving the talk? The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. And we're going to add a voice here. We're going to go to our guest who's here in Studio 49 with us. We have Nicole Martin, and she is a recent Fort Lewis graduate with a bachelor's degree in Indigenous Studies and a minor in Gender and Women's Studies. It's our pleasure to welcome her. She comes to us from the Navajo Nation. She is Diné. Nicole, thank you for being with us, and go ahead to further introduce yourself.
Yates and Nicole Martin Yenishad. Touching in like Kiasani, Pashishchi, Chishit, does it take Kiasani, does it not like good morning? My name is Nicole Martin. I'm Navajo maternally, but I call Laguna Pueblo my home. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's our pleasure, Nicole. And you've heard this discussion so far and what folks who are working in programs across the nation to try and educate young people. It's an important topic, and this is something that you focused in on through your academic career, and you really honed in on it on a piece called No Teepee Creeping Allowed, Indigenous Teachings and Ceremonies on Sex, Gender, and Sexuality. Let's get into that. Tell us what got you to this point and why you felt more needed to be said on this. Go ahead, Nicole.
So through my academic career, like I was confused about how being an Indigenous woman and growing up, you know, in Albuquerque, but not having those core values or those teachings for me, or they weren't really like talked to in depth. So I felt the need to go about for my paper to figure out what stories did, how did Native people theorize about sex, gender, and sexuality, you know, because I put it in terms of sex, gender, and sexuality because often people don't distinct sex and sexuality from each other. They kind of think it's the same thing, but sex is completely different from sexuality. You know, biologically, sex is different. And how we understand that and the way Western culture understands that and the types of, like, stigmas that they put on them that way. And, like, when you look at Indigenous cultures, like, in our creation stories, they talk, in Diné creation stories, they talk about, like, first man and first woman, you know, and those aren't really, like, they're not, like, rooted, like, biological. It's like female and male energies combined into every human being. And so, like, some people have more of a feminine energy, and they could be, like, biologically born male, you know, or they can have more of a male energy and they can be biologically born female, or they can, you know, contain, like, both sexes. Like, intersex, you know, was the thing that I learned in my education. And so, like, how do we talk about people who were intersex, you know? And the reality is, like, we just talked about them as people who were part of our communities, who had, like, this ability to be on another spiritual level because they were able to embody both, you know? Like, also in Diné creation stories, like, Adzad Nagle, like, changing woman, you know? She had the ability to, like, transcend sex and gender. She was able to, like, embody both, you know? So I wanted to be like, no one talked to me about this. No one put it to me in this way. And, like, I think my paper was more to, like, okay, how can we have, like, a comprehensive sex education that incorporates these teachings and these ceremonies, you know, but while understanding the impact of Western colonial sex education and just the way they went about educating us as Native people.
And so, Nicole, what's your take on that? Is there a way to blend the two, or do we need to push one aside and start all over? Or what's your take? How do we get to that point where sex education also comes with our teachings and understandings of sexuality?
So, like, definitely having, like, the beginning is to understand, like, how does this Western world, like, subliminally, like, teach us, like, sex education, like, if they do or they don't, you know? And I grew up in Albuquerque, and my sex education was more, like, it was more abstinence-prone. And so, like, but that doesn't help anybody. That didn't help me, because I had more questions, like, okay, well, like, what if I do want to have sex? Like, what's the safe way to go about it, you know? Like, what's healthy, what's not healthy? And so I think trying to emphasize, like, you know, this is how Western sex education, like, doesn't teach you much, but, like, here can your indigenous teachings and ceremonies teach you that, right? Like, for me, I was 12 when I had my Kinalta, and I didn't understand it entirely until my lover's niece had her Kinalta when she was, I think, 13, and I got to be a part of that, and I got to hear the stories about, like, why we have the Kinalta, and it's very, like, much of, like, honoring and remembering, like, changing women, and then, like, initiating this young girl into, like, a sacred being, because we can bring life into the world now. We have the ability to bring life into the world now, so, like, remembering that sacredness part. And there's ceremonies for males, too, you know, like, when they start to go through their puberty change, although I'm not entirely educated on it because I'm not a male, and hopefully there's an indigenous male out there that will talk about this side of sex education for men. And so,
yeah, you know what, there's actually a gentleman we've had on the show before, Dr. Lloyd Lee. He wrote a book on it, Diné Masculinities, and you know, there's a lot of reference there. And just hearing what you're saying, I think, is interesting. And when you're referring to and Kinalta, is that how you said it? Mm-hmm. You're talking about coming of age ceremonies. And we know that that is something that happens in different communities for both male and females. And just wondering, you know, how many people are out there, too, who really resonated with you when you said you didn't quite understand it when you were going through it, but you did later on. And maybe it was, you know, something that opened up even more. Folks, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848. And Nicole, is there anything you'd like to say to parents who are struggling with this, of words that you wish you heard, or maybe just even places you could go to ask questions and not be shamed away?
So I was having this conversation yesterday with my lover, and I was like, why is it so hard for parents to have this, to talk about sex? Like, why do they cringe from it, you know? And it's natural. It's a natural part of being, you know? And when you come into that, it's just natural. And for me, I think as I'm not a parent, spiritually, I feel like I'm ready to have kids. But like in this day and age, I don't feel right to have kids. But if I were to have kids, I would just be honest and talk to them like, okay, you know, this is what sex is, right? This is how your anatomy is, right? This is how you were made. This is how you were conceived, you know, like, and I don't think there's anything gross or wrong about it. You know, that's how you came into being. And it's not only that, talking about like consensual sex, I think that's something that our families need to put an emphasis on, because I didn't understand what consensual sex was until after it happened. And then later I had to tell my mother about it. And like that was I think for me, like I put off so many years of telling my mom, like, hey, you know, this is what happened to me. But like through that conversation, I was able to realize there's this issue of generational, like, lateral violence. Like, what if it's like domestic violence or like sexual abuse or anything like that, you know? And I saw like how far it not only stemmed from me, but to my mother and to my grandmother. So we really have to have like this conversation of like what consensuality is, and like having your parents just be there for you. I think a lot of children want their parents to just like be compassionate and like hear them out, you know, because then we have not only that behavioral issue of domestic violence and stuff, but we have issues of like suicide. And it's like these kids are telling you they just need somebody to confide in.
Sure. And you know, having that door open sometimes is the hardest. And Nicole, we're glad you're here with us. Folks, it's great to have a young voice speaking on this. And is this the first time you've heard a young person share exactly what they're thinking or some of these doors that they've met? What about overcoming them and coming to understanding about sex, sexuality? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And Nicole, we're going to bring back our guests here in just a moment because I want to hear their thoughts on some of the things you brought to light. Before we do that, we're going to take a call. We have an anonymous caller in New Mexico giving us a ring. And caller on line 4, thank you for giving us a ring. And go ahead. What would you like to say? Okay, hang tight. Let's see if we can get a better reception. Let's bring back in our guests. We have Dr. Stephanie Craig Rushing, Project Director at the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. Also with us, we have Michelle Singer, Project Manager for Native Stand. And ladies, Nicole did a great job sharing her thoughts on this. And Michelle, was there a moment where you were proud in just hearing what a young person had to say about all this? Go ahead, Michelle.
Yes, it was nice to hear Nicole. And again, a fellow Navajo, Kehet, thank you so much for her good words. And you know, I too am I'm one of those ask aunties. I have no kids of my own, but I have two nieces and two nephews from my brothers. And, you know, they went through this period of growth. And I know that just looking at my own upbringing, you know, my parents went to boarding school. They were raised in a Christian, I was raised in a Christian upbringing, although Navajo tradition and language was very important. But growing up in a off the reservation, you know, there was things that were teachings that were just implied that I should know. And then there was other times where I longed for that. And, you know, it took me into my adult life to be able to learn those lessons and be empowered and confident to ask others. And my role as an aunt, but also a mom in Navajo way, to bring that message and teachings to my nieces and nephews. And they found it kind of funny and almost thinking I was crazy by being so bold to talk about safe sex, protecting themselves with condom use, to understand that, you know, that looking at healthy relationships and letting them know that under the right circumstances, you know, sex is a sexual expression, that it shouldn't be shamed, but also to understanding that if they're not prepared, there's risks that could be not only imposed upon them and their partner, but also as an extended family. If a young one of an unplanned pregnancy comes in, then the whole family is affected. And just making sure that they have good resources, that's a big departure today than when I was young and didn't necessarily hear those types of words from my own parents or from my own aunts and uncles. And I think today's generation is really curious and exploring their resources, and we just need to make sure that they have that information. So I think today with curriculum like this, we're focusing on knowledge and attitudes and behaviors and making sure that our Native youth, our nieces and nephews, you know, promote positive social norms amongst themselves, each other, and the community, as opposed to having judgmental attitudes and imposing our own values on upon them. They're their own human being, and I just think that having these conversations today open in a safe environment with compassion and trust building is so important for our youth and each other in our communities.
Definitely. Thank you for that, Michelle. And, you know, another big note that Nicole brought forward about talking about this is it has to be consensual. I think we could do a whole hour on that, too. We're going to go ahead and go back to our phone lines and see if our caller is there in New Mexico. Caller on line 4, go ahead. You're on air.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better. Go ahead.
Okay, great. It's been a long time since I was a teen, but I want to ask your guests how they might counsel a young person whose introduction to sex and sexuality might have been non-consensual, who might have been, you know, from an abusive relationship with, probably a relative.
All right. Thank you for that, caller. Michelle, we're going to turn to you, and we are getting tight on time, so go ahead.
Well, obviously, if one hears those type of concerns and allegations, abuse, then we would immediately look to notifying not only our public safety or police, but certainly that has to be reported if it was not consensual, and certainly that's an act of violence. And there's protocols within that community or within that school that needs to be acted upon. Certainly we want to take in the protection and privacy of that youth. And but that is a very real but unfortunate scenario that happens a lot in our communities of unreported violence, and that's a mandatory reporting situation. So,
and you know, I think these discussions help because, you know, if nobody ever heard any of this, and much like we heard Nicole, you know, you do enter into those relationships and you're faced with the reality, and sometimes talking about it prepares you. But as well as parents, you know, these are some of the things young people may be thinking about. And, you know, why not have those conversations? Is it hard? Well, folks, you can continue to tell us what you think about this topic. And we know there's many places to explore when it comes to all of this, including safe sex and preventing STIs or STDs. If there's more you'd like to share on that, reach out to us. Send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And that's going to do it for our discussion today on safe sex. And we do appreciate everybody who gave us a ring as well as joined us here live on the conversation. There are links on our website to some of what you heard in the hour. And again, if you still want to reach out to us, you can also send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Thanks to our guests today, Michelle Singer, Dr. Stephanie Craig-Rushing, also Nicole Martin. And we appreciate them for joining us. And today is World Radio Day. The day started in 2011 as a way to recognize and celebrate the importance of radio to communities worldwide. Our executive producer, Art Hughes, caught up with Loris Taylor, who's president and CEO of Native Public Media. She is from the Hopi Nation, and she celebrates the growth of Native radio and says it has continually increased. Definitely increased since 2004. And she currently says there are more than 60 stations or some 60 stations servicing Native American and Alaska Native nations, with large clusters in Alaska, the plains, and as well as the Southwest. And here's how Loris describes the power of radio.
Well, National Radio Day is a day of celebration. It's a day to celebrate localism because that's what radio does. Radio is a vehicle through which information is delivered to our communities, and that's especially important for tribal communities where often there aren't other mediums that they can enjoy. Radio brings information, about the weather, about public health, about their daily economic activities. It also brings information about their national security. And so radio really is a drum that's very loud in the plaza. It gains the respect of local people because it's really about them, and that's what tribal radio really is. Tribal radio is, or native radio, as we say, it's really about making the voices of local people louder so that it can be heard not just within the community but across the country. It's our safety blanket, and it's also a place where we hear real news. It's not about fake stories or things that are fabricated. It's about real people and real lives and real stories.
And why in particular native radio? What is the importance of that in the whole scheme of things?
Well, native radio is important because it allows access, it allows control, and it allows ownership. If you only have access to the medium and it's owned by someone else, that in itself is not powerful. You could write 3,000 press releases, and perhaps one or two could make it onto the highway of the radio stations of that that are licensed or belong to someone else. Control over your own voice, having the agency to talk about history of culture and language is extremely powerful. Once again, if the medium is owned by someone else, it's hard to tell your own stories. It's hard to own your own voice. Or if it's a broadcast facility that is visual, it's hard to own your own image. That's been the history of Native Americans. Our stories have been told by someone else. They fill that void. They fill that gap. So the power is about control over our own voice. We have the power to tell our own stories, and we should be doing that. And finally, there's ownership. If we own our own facility, that is empowerment in its true form. That facility belongs to us. That facility is housed on our lands. That facility is housed by people that we know from our community. That facility provides jobs. That facility is there to sustain our voice on culture and history and our daily goings about, which could be a community calendar, public affairs, or news stories. And so having not just access, but access, control, and ownership combined is powerful. And that power belongs to the people, and that's really where it belongs.
I know a lot of people get their news from a lot of different sources now, whether it's television or recorded podcasts. A lot of people say they get their news from Facebook. It seems like every time I look up, there is a new native station in the works. Give me an idea of what the landscape is like for native media.
Well, we have we've had a growth in native radio since 2004, and we now have 60 radio stations serving tribal communities across Indian Country, and the largest clusters are in Alaska, where they have about 11 stations. The next cluster are the Plain States, which includes Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, those states. then we have another cluster in the southwest. A few stations are on the east side of the United States, which is east of the Mississippi. They are in New York State, in New Orleans, and in other spots. It's very spotty east of the Mississippi. But we're
And maybe you're listening to us on one of those stations right now. I want to go back to Loris's words. Do you agree the power of radio belongs to the people? You can tweet your response at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And again, we do appreciate Loris Taylor for celebrating World Radio Day with us today and giving us her take on why it's important and why radio matters. If you'd like to tell us why radio matters in your life, or maybe even just want to snap a photo of where you listen to your native radio, you can do that. You can email it to us, comments@nativeamericacalling.com, or send it to us on Facebook or a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we turn to the Crow Nation and singer-songwriter Carrie Morin and his new album. We'll share some of his tunes as well as put some of them in your hands, too. And we hope you'll make plans to join us. That's going to wrap it up for today's discussion and program. And thanks again to the Native America Calling crew, our executive producer, Art Hughes, our senior producer, Monica Brain, Andy Murphy, our associate producer, and Derek Toledo, our engineer. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood, and it has been a pleasure to connect with you. We've got a whole week lined up of great discussions, and as we said, music tomorrow, as well as visiting with many other people from across our Native nations. If there's something you'd like to hear on these Native airwaves, reach out to us. Any shows or great people in your community that you think others should know about, reach out to us. Again, send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com, and you can also send us a tweet. Look forward to it. And coming up later on in the week, we're going to take a look at the state of Indian nations. If you tuned in to the webcast today and were wanting to say something as you heard President Brian Cladisby, well, tune in again later this week and tell us exactly what you were thinking. Thanks again. We are back again tomorrow.
Keshe, ike na ante mota ho na na o ke na listik le ate ke na. Ike na we ake heart disease ake ho na na o ke ho na awa li desh na we. Ake luke ya chun penan ke ato di ake ton kwa ho na ashi lo awa li tu. 1-800-318-2596 kwin penan ake dan da east healthcare.gov kwin awa no. Luke ya Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to na penan itu lo ke na we. Ela kwa.
Support by Amerind Media, offering Native Flicks featuring compelling films, TV series, and documentaries about Indigenous peoples worldwide. We support and source content from filmmakers working in Indigenous communities and are honored to share their cultures, traditions, and stories at nativeflicks.com. Half of all profits from Native Flicks subscriptions bought through the end of February will be donated to Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Start your free 30-day trial today and get 10% off the first 6 months of service using promotion code ALLNATIONS2017.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.